Good morning. Happy New Year. It's been a bit of a long week since we were last all together, huh? I spoke to a few of you this morning, and some of you have had similar weeks. A couple days ago, on New Year's morning, my wife Rachel and I sat in the living room, and we were talking about ways that we could probably be better parents. It wasn't really motivated by New Year's as much as it was being locked in our house with three kids for a week. Anyway, we were talking about the things we need to be a little bit more intentional about and how we need to understand where the kids are coming from. We were affirming each other, quoting child psychologists, all of that. All good stuff. We even talked to the kids about how we were all going to be turning over a new leaf. 10 hours later, I had banned TV, the internet, iPads, talking and looking at each other. And then I sent them all to bed without dessert. So they sat upstairs, stinging from the injustice of their sentences. And we were downstairs cleaning pasta off the carpet and thinking hard about our life choices. Then the two youngest came up with a great idea to appeal to our better selves one more time. And they came downstairs with smug little looks on their faces. And they said, "Yeah, but remember this morning when you said you were going to be better parents?" That was as close as I got to making a New Year's resolution this year, and it lasted one day. But of course, I'm not alone. According to a study in the Journal of Clinical Psychology, only half of us make resolutions, and by the end of the first week, 25% of them will have been abandoned. 6 months from now, less than half of those who made resolutions will still be following them. The mistake we make is that our resolutions are often too centered on systematic problems in our lives, and we are not good at making systematic changes in our behavior. I may resolve to lose weight in 2016, but in order to realistically meet that goal, I need to address all of the individual habits that I have that prevent me from actually doing it. And this requires much more planning than I ever give a resolution. But I don't want to discourage you. If this is the motivation you need to make a positive change in your life, then that is great. But for followers of Jesus, we have another motivation for making changes this time of year. Because this is a time of action, a time for starting, for doing. It doesn't necessarily have anything to do with turning the page in a calendar. For the last month or so, we've been going through Advent, a season of anticipation. We've talked about how Jesus would be bringing hope and love and peace and joy into this world at Christmas. But now that Christmas is over, we can't just stop talking about those things. How crazy would it be to spend all that time on what God is bringing us, and then when it happens, say, "Well, that's good enough for this year. We'll bring it up again next year." Hope, peace, joy, love. These things have come into the world. Now, what will we resolve to do with them? Let's look closer at our scripture reading. In Mark's gospel, there is no Christmas story. Instead, Mark gives us a picture of another beginning, the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And Jesus is full of action. This is no longer a season of anticipation. He is extremely busy. He is teaching in front of scribes. He's healing people. The crowds are gathering, and he's making an impact. What he is doing and saying is setting people on fire. It was something different, really noticeably different. Verse 22 tells us, they looked at each other, amazed because this strange teacher acted as one authorized by God. And what he taught them affected them in ways their own scribes' teaching could not. There were other teachers and healers around. But people recognized this as something different. Jesus spoke and healing happened. And that is the power of God in our midst. That is what was promised to us on Christmas. Then he spoke to a demon, and the demon flew. That's a little weird. We don't really talk like that so much anymore, right? We're more likely to Explain it by saying that the person had a mental illness or maybe epilepsy and Jesus cured it. And maybe that's right. To me, it's not important exactly what the affliction was. The podcast WorkingPreacher.com was talking about this particular situation this week, and they asked us to look at it from the perspective of the community, those actual people who are witnessing this thing. When someone suffered from this kind of an illness, it was something in their world that was beyond their ability to understand or control. It was a kind of hurt that isolated a person from their community. It could even fracture the community itself. It was beyond anyone's ability to fix. And then somebody came in and spoke a word, and it disappeared. All of a sudden, healing was there, and reconciliation was possible. A person is made whole, and a community can be made whole with just the one spoken word. Wouldn't that be amazing to see today? We have medical knowledge and advances that people have made in the last 2,000 years. But there are still hurts and there are wrongs in our communities today that seem beyond our control and beyond our ability to understand. Hate and violence are still rampant. Evils like racism destroy communities and people's lives. And we are no closer to understanding these things than the people of Jesus' time were to understanding mental illness. But what if somebody could just walk among us and say a word and racism died? And addiction withered? And violence was cast out from us for good? It's not that hope and peace do these things. It's that God's coming brings hope and peace. When God is among us, despair becomes hope. Violence becomes peace. Hate becomes love. And suffering becomes joy. That is the light that Jesus brought into the world. And radical change is possible wherever that light shines. That kind of change, that kind of healing, even in one single individual, is enough to make reconciliation possible and communities whole. So what does that mean for us, the church? You probably see where I'm headed. Let me just assure you, I'm not suggesting that your New Year's resolution should be to be Jesus. We can't do that. This light doesn't come from us, right? It comes from God. Our job is to reflect that light that Jesus brought into the world. And even that is an intimidating resolution. But our scripture verse gives us an example of how we can get started. You see, I'm not actually asking you to be Jesus. I'm asking you to be Simon's mother-in-law. Did you notice that part about Simon's mother-in-law? I actually like the way that the NRSV says it. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. It might be tempting to overlook this part of the story because it's not as exciting as casting out demons and curing lepers. But and also maybe there are tinges of sexism that we see now today that might make us a little uncomfortable. But I don't think that was the point. Jesus didn't heal her so that she could serve him. He didn't say, "You're healed. Now your role is to wait on us." Healing was the gift that he brought to her because that's what God does. Serving was her reaction to receiving this gift from God. And it's the reaction that Jesus himself modeled for us later. He says, "The Son of Man is not here to serve, but to be served." Nope, sorry, that's wrong. This is very important. The Son of Man is not there to be served, but to serve. He goes as far as washing the disciples' feet, puts himself in that actual role. Compared to casting out a demon or curing leprosy, healing a fever might not seem as exciting, but this was likely just as much a radical change for her life. There was no Tylenol that could bring a fever down. It was a serious situation. The disciples were obviously concerned for her. A fever in those days was a symptom of something life-threatening. Even if she had survived, she might have been incapacitated and been left in the care of others for the rest of her life. Out of gratitude for her own healing, she decides right away to serve those around her, to care for others, to bring hope and peace, maybe even love and joy. When that beam of light that was God's presence on earth fell upon her, she immediately began to reflect it outward, beyond herself. She was not the source of the light, but she amplified it. Everyone else in the passage reacts completely differently. They tell everyone they know to go see Jesus. And I get it. It must have been glorious to be in that light. Of course they wanted everyone else to feel it. But Simon's mother-in-law didn't tell others where to find the light. She allowed the light to move through her and to shine out of her. Imagine if that was everyone's reaction. Imagine how far that light could spread. The time for wishing others comfort and joy is over. It's time now to bring comfort and to bring joy. This is the time of action. It's a time for doing and serving. It is a time for changing things, for reflecting the light that came into the world at Christmas. Maybe you're in need of healing first. Maybe you still need to feel the hope and the love and the joy and the peace. That's okay. Jesus can take you by the hand and lift you up. There is a light shining in the darkness. It has come. MCC is a great place to experience that light. Look at all these faces around you, capable of shining the light of God into you. Immerse yourself. You don't need to make any big commitments or resolutions. Just start. There are so many opportunities. The Well starts this week. Come to the Well on Wednesday night. The people who go love it. It's a high point of their week. Or just decide to read the Bible a little bit on your own. Don't make any crazy commitments like you're going to read the whole thing by February. You won't. Just decide that this year you're going to be a little closer to God. And start serving. Start caring for others. Start reflecting. We're heading into Epiphany, the time when we celebrate Christ becoming visible and known to the world. Let us resolve together to be bringers of hope to those who have despair, peace to those who know violence, love to those who know hate, and joy to those who have known only sorrow. Let us speak the word of God that brings radical change in the lives of individuals and communities. Let the light of God shine through each one of us. Let's make that our resolution. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, thank you for the gifts that you brought at Christmas. Make us good stewards of these things that you have given us. Let us feel them for ourselves, and let us shine them out so that others may feel them as well.